Saturday Discussions with Ajahn Suchin at the Foundation in Bangkok, January 2020. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, John, Nina, Tam, Betty, Hajid, Roti, Tai, Long, Sun Mai, Eve, Tiny Tam, Gurung, Hai, Vincent, Sukin, Alberto, and Sundra.
One of our friends on DSG asked a question for you. We've been talking about patience, Kanti Parami, and patience in general, Kanti, which can be Kusala or Akusala. And we mentioned in passing that actually patience is an aspect of Virya, Virya Chitasika. And he doesn't accept this because he thinks that patience seems to be more like aloba, adosa, and panya. And I tried to find some references to where it talks about patience as an aspect of virya. And I talked about the function of virya as being forbearance and this aspect of patience. Would you say more about patience and virya?
I think that if we just learn the word but don't know what it's now, it's impossible to understand anything at all. For example now, can we understand patience right now? That is seeing, hearing, and thinking. And can we understand patience or can understand what appears now as it is, like seeing now? It seems like we understand seeing already. But actually, we just learn to understand that it sees now, but we are not used or accustomed to the reality which sees as not self. That's why no matter how many words we have heard, it cannot help us to try to find out what it is. Only the name, different names, and we learn to understand the different meaning. But what is that reality which is patience? Is it real? Is it rupa, that which cannot experience anything? Or is it now we don't know at all? After seeing, after moment of experiencing visible object, there is thinking right now all the time. And is there patience at moment of thinking? See? It's there already. So how can we say anything about it? Just learn to understand that it's a reality which is not citta, but it's that which is cetasika, which arises with most of cittas. Only 18 types of citta do not have virya or patience with it. Only that as much as we can know. Because now, at moment of thinking, it's there already. So we try to find out the reality by words or from words, but actually it cannot be like that at all. Just learn to understand what is now in order to understand better and better that there are so many realities unknown, unseen at all. Even the seven jitasikas arising with seeing right now cannot be known. Who knows the pasa? Even right now, it's here and now. If it does not appear, can we know? It's just like patience. We try to find out, but we miss the moment of understanding that which appears now, to be able to understand patience as it is. So the point of listening to the teachings is just begin to understand that which appears as no one, no self, no me, no I. This is the point, the truth, the absolute truth of realities. No self, no one, no I. So before learning to try to find the truth of patience as it is it self, or I am trying to know that. And it will keep one away from this moment. All the time. Forget about this which sees, and citta after that, whether there is patience with it or not. But it's there. Patience is there, like passa is there. Manasikara is there. We just learn that they are there and try to find out what is what. But that is only the word. But the reality is this moment. So no matter how much we learn about the words and about realities, if it doesn't bring the understanding to this moment, when will it perform this function of understanding what appears now? We learn that there's no one at all. But what is there now? It seems like it's no use to talk about seeing, because it seems like we know or we understand it already, but actually it's not at all. So this is the way to see how much there can be understanding of that which appears not just from the book, but from this moment.
Ajahn, you mentioned no one, no me, no self, no I. Are these all the same? Or are we talking about different kinds of akusala there? No me, no self, no I.
And they are all now unknown as not me, not self, no one.
Can we talk about the development of patience?
Yes, now we are developing unknowingly from moment to moment to know what should be known or what should be directly understood. That can be directly experienced, but not now yet, because it has to go stage by stage. Like if there's no intellectual understanding at all, how can there be higher understanding of that which is not just I who sees now and who knows or understands the words about realities right now?
But if we have the idea that we have to have more patience, or there has to be more patience in order for understanding to develop, that's probably not a helpful way of thinking, because it's understanding develops the patience also.
Is there no patience now? See, there is patience unknown, but it's there. And it cannot be known from hearing and considering. Intellectual understanding will lead to understand moment, which is not just hearing and thinking and understanding the words, but it begins to understand the reality. And this is a point of hearing the teachings of the Buddha, not just for understanding intellectually.
When we discuss patience, I think of confidence in the teaching, because it seems that if there's confidence in the development of understanding as being not self, then that is a condition for patience also.
Thinking. Each word at moment of thinking, there must be patience for sure. That is why without the teachings of Buddha, it's impossible to know what's now at all. So if we begin to understand that what is Dhamma, it's a reality. When we use the term reality, it means that it's not anyone at all. No thing, no one, but that which has its own characteristic, which cannot be changed at all. It has to be as it is conditioned to arise and to be only that.
And can we say that patience has a characteristic or not? Because when we talk about, say, wrong view or attachment, we know it's a particular mental factor which has a particular characteristic, whereas patience is not a particular, not its own mental factor. It's an aspect of wirya. There's always a lot of questions about patience, so I'm wondering if people perhaps are wanting to know the characteristic, whereas that may be not something that can be directly known.
We talk about everything. Just words. Can we say we just talk or say anything without understanding from birth to death? Like patience. See, is it hot now? Is it patience to sit here more, not move to other place? See, is that we call it patience,
right.
So it's real.
That's a characteristic at that moment. And when we read, for example, in the Dhammapada verse about patience being the greatest treasure, then obviously it means patience with understanding. Would you say a little more about patience as the greatest treasure?
It's now again. It's now again. Why do we listen to the teachings of the Buddha? See, just to understand whatever appears, otherwise it's useless. What about just know the words? Well, it's not just the words, but realities arising and falling all the time, from moment to moment. And many, many realities unknown. There cannot be just citta, one moment, without the conditions as cetasikas in different ways. So passion is not citta, but it's the mental factor which arises with almost every citta. So we know that we don't know anything about passion from the word. It arises with almost every citta. See? But we don't know at all. That's why we learn to understand that it's not I, it's not me. There are different realities arising and falling away, uncontrollable by conditions. To learn to let go the idea of self, which is very, very deep and very, very difficult, because we are used to take it for me or mine all the time, from life to life. So the only way to have less attachment to the idea of self or wrong understanding is to understand whatever appears from the words of the Buddha, little by little. And wanting to understand that which does not appear now, what is that? A reality, not I. Can it bring about understanding from wanting to and neglect to understand what appears now? See, it's quite a very, very difficult and very subtle development of understanding of no self and no I.
Lost if we don't know which cetasika. We feel lost because there are so many thoughts going on, and they are mostly akusala. So then there is no patience.
Do you understand the difference between the reality which experiences and that which cannot experience? The characteristic of that which can experience is not directly known yet. So if we think about other thing else, we cannot understand this moment. It seems like without the intellectual understanding, it's impossible to really getting know the truth of reality right now. But it can be from hearing with understanding firmly that it's not I. So when we come across any word, it's there, not I. Like when we talk about patience, it's not me. We just learn to understand a reality which arises with almost every citta. And without the words of the Buddha, who knows, almost every citta. How many cittas do not have the patience with them?
It has to be kusala citta, not akusala citta.
And what else?
Is that right?
And what else?
Ahetuka.
How many?
18.
How many with viriya?
Fear,
or patience.
Yeah.
See, why do we should understand this? To have more and more understanding that no one can do anything at all. No one can control the way it is. The more we learn to understand citta as not self, cetasika is not self, rupa is not self, it's the preparation to understand better and better from the words of the teaching about the details, but there should be the understanding of the characteristic which is now experiencing and that which cannot experience.
But kusala citta arises so seldom, and many more akusala cittas, and all those moments I understand there is no patience.
Akusala.
Akusala, yeah.
Jan, when she's saying which cittas does it arise with, she's referring to virya,
So which citta's virya arises with.
So akusala also virya.
Also all akusala citta's as well. So all kusala, all akusala, and tu ahechuka. So virya is so common in a day, but not then, just kusala.
But then it's not patience.
Then it's unwholesome patience, like when queuing to collect something at the buffet table.
Yeah.
There is patience to collect the food item, but akusala patience with loba.
But when you say patience, I think of the kusala only.
Like robbing a bank takes a lot of patience.
Yeah, but not very.
Or sitting in the taxi to come here, but a lot of their patience is akusala. Yeah.
But I understand acha means the kusala patience, no?
All kinds.
All kinds.
Oh. To understand patience is of self.
Has no self, conditions.
The point is to understand all dhammas, whatever appears as no self.
Whenever virya, what she's been saying is whenever virya arises, which is with almost every citta, it is patient at that moment, no matter kusala or akusala.
I see.
Yeah. Or vipaka.
You just mentioned about the patience when you queue at the buffet table to get the food. So what would be, because if it's in both cases it's loba, then what is the difference when you just want to get ahead of all other people and get to the food, and when you stay behind and wait until it's your time? I think in terms of the mind state, there should be some differences. Then what would that be?
And even sometimes when queuing for the food, it's with dosa, but even then it's dosa with virya patience. So actually it's true, even when jumping the queue, when there's more loba, and conventionally we'd say not no patience, but actually virya is there at those moments too. So it's so different from conventional idea of patience.
And I think there are different reasons for not jumping the queue. Some people may think it doesn't look good, so it's mana, and others out of consideration for the person in front of them, so there's some kusala. So it could be anything. You can't generalize. Only the person themselves can know.
That usually not even the person can know, right?
The only person who can know is that person. Usually, that person doesn't know.
In this example of Tamsajan, when someone, we would say conventionally, loses patience and jumps the queue, so virya is there each moment, because just different namas, each akusala citta is arising with virya. So we would say then patience even at those moments in this regard.
Are we talking about people, or are we talking about dhammas?
Dhammas.
So who knows this moment how many cittas have arisen and fallen away already with different cetasikas. And we try to find out as people and things and situation. That is not the way to know that no self at all. But when we talk about one moment, one citta, one cetasika, it begins to have more and more understanding of not self. That's why we don't talk about situation, but we talk about different cittas. At that moment where you talk about situation, seeing arises and falls away all the time. And the citta which follows with virya, unknown all the time, by situation and thinking about people. So that is always I who study or who learn to know what appears as I should or shouldn't. But actually, understanding as it is, as not self, is the best way to understand the truth. Always coming back to no one, no self. So we understand citta and chetasikas and rupa.
Ajahn, can we say then that another word for patience is an acceptance of the conditions and the realities as they are? Because when we're impatient, I don't know if impatience is a jetasika, but certainly we are more aware of impatience than we are of patience. We're aware of being impatient to have to wait on a line, or being impatient about gaining this or that, or gaining understanding. People are impatient. Why am I not gaining any understanding? You know, this kind of thing. We're more aware of impatience than we are of patience. So can we say that patience is a kind of acceptance as the things as they are at a particular moment? In other words, the realities that are arising at a particular moment, there's an acceptance of that.
We can say anything. We can say anything.
Well, all right, or it can be said, whatever, however you want to phrase it. But is that... Because I'm not quite sure, I don't really understand how patience ties in with understanding the nature of any reality arising at a particular moment.
That's why we learn to understand reality as its characteristic and its function, its manifestation.
How does that deal with patience?
Every reality has its own characteristic.
Yes.
So what is the characteristic of patience?
That's why I'm saying, to me, acceptance is...
Just learn to understand, not to accept. Learn to
just
understand.
Just to understand, rather.
Yeah, yeah. If we accept, it does mean that we understand. We just accept.
So how is that the same as patience?
We have to understand that patience is not seeing. Little by little, just learn to understand that which cannot be expressed by any word at all. But it's there.
Can we not understand patience just in terms of the fact that understanding develops very gradually and slowly and
right,
by conditions?
Right, that I can understand, that it's a very... the acceptance that it's developing very gradually, that I can understand.
And that's why I see it's being linked to confidence in the teachings.
That's why I mentioned
earlier that it reminds me of confidence in the teachings.
So confidence can be another adjective for patience.
No, it's a particular mental factor, slightly different in characteristic. But in terms of characteristic, if patience, we say, is the mental factor of virya, then that's the characteristic. Virya, whatever is the characteristic of virya, is the characteristic of patience. So I don't think there's a need to think too deeply about the characteristic of patience, but
from understanding, that's all.
Surely we can just understand that because of the very nature of conditioned realities, anyone who is following this path has to be prepared for it to take a long, long time. Whereas,
absolutely,
for
this,
many
this
people, they
understand.
Want a shortcut, for example, and then there's absence of patience.
Do you know impatience?
Right, because there's a lack of patience
and
when there's
that which
impatience.
Is different, yeah. Opposite, is patience, which cannot be known easily. Without patience or virya, can there be thinking?
No.
See, so you begin to little by little understand what is patience. It seems like there is no patience at moment of thinking. But who knows that patience has arisen with that moment of thinking. Beyond anyone's control, all jetasikas are conditioned to arise. Not by anyone, but by the proper conditions.
And so when you say, do you know impatience, or when there is no patience, it means just like now at a moment of seeing or hearing, no patience. No virya at those moments, but what we conventionally think of as like thinking in an irritated way, for example, thinking without patience, actually patience is there, virya is there at those moments. So it's different from our conventional way of thinking.
And also in a discussion like this,
there are often examples, because we may want to jump in, like jumping the queue. We may want to jump in with a comment, but we don't, out of deference to someone else who's speaking, or someone else has been waiting to ask a question. So one pauses and lets that happen first. I think just the ordinary meaning of patience is enough to understand why it's important in the development of understanding.
It certainly helps understand conditions a lot better.
Yeah.
So if we know what citta doesn't have patience, it will begin to understand why patience arises with other cittas. For example, seeing, it doesn't need virya at all because it's conditioned by kamma to arise. No one can stop the kamma to produce result when time comes. It doesn't need patience at all. But the other citta performs function not just seeing, more than that. So it needs more cetasikas to condition such moments. But it's so subtle, because after seeing, there is sampatichanna. Is there patience in sampatichanna or together with sampatichanna? See, that's why we learn from the teachings to understand that which one cannot know by oneself at all.
And in deep sleep, even though the citta is the result of karma, if they are with roots like in our life, then virya must be there.
So now we can say what moment doesn't have patience and what moment has patience. From book first, and then from understanding about what is learnt. As much as we can say now, we can say that seeing does need patience, the virya cetasika, to arise with it, because it's conditioned by kamma. So one can see the power of kamma. It can condition any vipaka at any time. So now, enough for patience?
Yes, we've had enough of patience.
Just to know that seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching do not have patience with them. All these 10 and more later, little by little.
But when Kantik Parami is mentioned, it is kusala patience.
With panya,
with understanding.
Right now.
There's also virya parami, right? So what would be the difference between...
With panya or without panya? When it's not parami, it's without panya.
But both, one parami is virya parami and one is kanti parami, and they both arise with panya. Usually when we talk about virya parami, it's referring to a different aspect of virya. I think the aspect of courage, for example. So in this regard, kanti is separate parami from virya parami.
We have to understand what cetasika it is, and there are so many aspects of each one.
Yeah, that was, I was about to say that the patient is actually means, has two means. Patient, actually one patient is mean kuson, kusala patient, which means the what patient, what we say that it is opposite to anger. And another patient is that virya, which mean that it has to arise with, it's, it can arise with akusala or kusala. This, in this term, patient is mean to patience in order to successfully be akusala or kusala, to go in the either kusala way or akusala way. Even but patient, which in kanti, it's like it's a kusala chetasik, which is opposite of angry. Athosa is kanti. When we mean by patient kanti, it's a form of athosa cetasik.
then that can only be kusala.
But back to the point we're discussing, we're just finishing this point. There are different aspects when we talk about Virya Parami and Kanti Parami and other Chetasikas involved. And this was the original question from our Thai friend in America, who said that it seems that when we talk about Kanti Parami, it seems less about Virya, more about other factors like Panya, Aloba, Dosa. And we said, well, we can look at all the different words, but what about now? So anything else to say about Virya and versus Kanti Parami? I think when we talk about Virya Parami, it's the particular aspect of Virya that is courage, other just a different aspect. That's all. Anything else, Ajahn?
Yeah. If everything goes well, if everything goes well, is there Kanti?
As I understand, there's Kanti towards what is desirable and what is undesirable. Correct? Can be like good food and yeah.
Yes, it does mean just to be to have Kanti only when there's trouble. But even Kanti to like
or to ignorance
to
every akusala.
To be attached.
Or to every akusala, even to moha also.
Just on this question of Virya Parami and Kanti Parami, it reminds me of the comment we discussed recently about fear as an aspect of dosa. And we think of fear as something specific, different from, say, aversion, irritation, annoyance, that sort of thing. But all the same mental factor. So there are, as Ajahn said, different aspects of the same mental factor. There's nothing magical about this. It's just that there are a limited number of mental factors, but so many different emotions or kinds of experience that we can give a label to. And that's the case with Virya and Parami. Virya as effort, energy, and Virya as patience.
And how can there be the understanding of Kanti or Virya?
When it appears?
If it does appear. So now, what is the first thing or the first stage or level to understand reality?
Pariyati.
To understand what appears as yourself because it is that which experiences. There must be the understanding perfectly. The difference between that which experiences and that which cannot experience. Otherwise, it's only thinking about Virya. But Virya is what? When it appears. So the first thing is to understand the difference between the Nama and the Rupa. That's why the Vipassana Yana is the first Nama, Rupa, Paricheda, Yana. It seems like we understand already, but it's not enough, as long as it doesn't appear to Panya of that level. When we talk about Virya, we just be able to say that it's not Rupa, but that's not enough, because its characteristic as not self, just a reality which experiences cannot be known yet. And when reality appears as not self. What is there which is not self? No one knows because it hasn't come yet. It can be anything. See? It can be fear. And at that moment, usually it's I. See? But to understand that moment as just a reality which has that characteristic. We don't need to say that it's Nama or it's Chetasika or whatever it is, but its characteristic appears, show up as it is, as that aspect of a reality. Do we know at that moment that it is dosa? Because it does not appear as dosa in daily life. But when it's fear, it's different. So it's just a reality, not self. Beginning from understanding better and better about the characteristic of not me, not self. Just that which appears as nama, or that which experiences, not rupa.
So we are listening and trying to grasp what you are saying, but it is so hard to imagine to know the difference between nama and rupa without thinking. We cannot imagine it at all. But I think that is because it doesn't appear to Panya. But that means waiting for Panya or something. We cannot grasp it.
Waiting?
No, if there are no we for waiting. It's only no, Dhamma by condition.
It is wrong to wait, I know.
There's no we anyway.
No.
So it's, that actually there must be the understanding of waiting of not self either.
Yeah. See, I feel so much above me. I find it really hard to grasp it.
Waiting is another kind of Dhamma, yeah. But not we.
Yeah,
because waiting is also, but not you.
Yeah.
Waiting.
Yeah.
Othon. No.
When it's an idea of I must wait so long or I cannot grasp it, it's me again. So then it hinders the understanding right now of what appears, the fear or the unhappiness or the seeing or the whatever it is just Dhamma now.
Yeah.
Even that why you're saying now, it's still by thinking. It's still by thinking. Whatever.
So it's not Dhamma at that point. So at least there can be understand even then that it's still clinging to my thinking. So even right then that lobha can be known. It's just a Dhamma, passing Dhamma.
But waiting can also be waiting for Panya, but not I waiting, but Dhamma as a Dhamma wait. If you understand, waiting also another barami, patience and all that, until Panya arrives.
Waiting is lobha?
It can be lobha, but it can be otthon also.
Like this, it's lobha.
Yeah, like want, then it's lobha.
Wishing for more understanding, waiting for understanding.
But if the...
What would be an example of waiting for Panya that was not lobha?
Like knowing that Dhamma is very hard and it's not easy to understand, and it cannot understand now because there's not enough Panya or not enough condition for that level of understanding. Waiting can be also barami in that sense, if it's kuson. No?
Very long story, but not
who is waiting.
Yeah,
there's no one still waiting, but Dhamma, I mean patience. I think the word waiting is wrong, but patience to until Panya arrives. Then I think that's...
And when it's patience, no thinking about when will Panya come, or why hasn't Panya come yet, or I don't get it, or it's too difficult. No thought like that at all. Because it's just seeing now, hearing, thinking. No thought about when will I have more understanding.
I think that the problem with the word waiting is that waiting implies an expectation, right?
But I mean not wait, but I mean patience too. Because knowing that Dhamma is hard and cannot, now it's not understanding. Because knowing that Dhamma is so deep and it has to accumulate from little wisdom toward more. So it can, I think the word patient would be the right word for it.
So there can be wise considering about the depth of the teaching, but without waiting or expecting or looking for
because
it.
Because waiting seems like an expectation. Yeah. Actually, virya, it's like more of like an energy, right? Because energy toward either kusala way or akusala way. So
that's the characteristic, it energizes.
Of energize. So even though when we say lazy also a kind of energize, but in a kusala way. So when we say virya barmi mean energize maybe toward Panya, and so that's barmi.
With Panya. So energized with Panya.
Yeah. And patience is another barmi.
Without
without virya, panya cannot arise. So there has to be the
energy.
Energizing at that moment.
But in kusala. But seeing and smelling 10 chitta without energized, because it's arised by kama. It's a effect, it's not the cause, like either akusala nor kusala, right?
It's a result of karma, and also there are no wholesome or unwholesome roots.
Because there are other result jittas that are accompanied by virya. So that's not the distinguishing factor.
Like Ajahn mentioned, because they are the result of karma, they don't need virya. So it's an important factor.
Mm.
Yeah,
cause and effect. Yeah, you can understand that. But kriyachit of arahata also not cause or either effect, but it need virya.
Has to have virya at each moment.
But it isn't either akusala or kusala, but it need, because it's not vipaka. But Ajahn, not all some vipaka need virya chetasik, right?
That's why we should know how many jitas arise without virya.
10, seeing to, I'm not sure how much.
So every chitta in life, even those in deep sleep, which are vipaka, every chitta needs virya, apart from the ahetuka chittas, those without roots, apart from two. Yeah.
So you mean when I use the word patisanti chitta, of if human, then they need to be virya.
Virya is,
but
there.
If for an creatures, animal, or in the hell, they don't need.
Then it's ahetuka. Then it doesn't need.
Bhavanka
it.
And chutti also doesn't have that. That
depends whether it has roots or not.
Because it's ahetuka chitta.
Yes.
But but if our vipaka, bhavanga, we has
to. Last night in sleep, virya at each moment with the bhavanga chittas. That's why Ajahn in the beginning, she said, we just talk now about seeing, hearing, because this is what is arising now, this is what is appearing. They're the result of karma. They don't need virya. And she said, we just start with the basics. Mm. No need to talk about too many complicated details now, because some people may be quite new to the Dharma, so no point to talk about all sorts of names and details. And I think some people are just here only for the weekend, like Tom and Bev and one or two Vietnamese. Yes, yeah, so it's good if they ask any questions.
Let me ask
Bev. So when we were talking about patience and patient as being an aspect of virya chetasika and kusala and akusala patience, are you familiar with this?
Now that we're discussing it, I'm thinking about it, but it is not something that I had thought about before.
So to say that virya arises with almost every chitta except ahetuka chitta, right? Like seeing, smelling and all that doesn't have either lopa tosa moha or alopa tosa amoha, so it doesn't. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, I heard that when someone are born like mad or like that, they said that their patisanti can be ahetuka kusala vipaka. So that might not have virya.
If it's ahetuka vipaka, even whether it's kusala or akusala, then no virya.
So like for mad person, maybe doesn't, like their bhavanka also doesn't have, because it has to be same as patisanti, it has to be same karma, right? So not everybody.
So mad people are the ones who are born with ahetuka chitta?
So humans can be born with three roots, two roots, or no roots. So if someone in this life is born very handicapped, blind, deaf, not what? Just from birth in this life, but from conception, or it may be with no roots. Maybe ahechuka
means no virya also. But if we like have the senses, so we might have the virya, our patisanti pavang entity, right?
Yeah, but because I was surprised to hear about the mad, someone being mad, right?
Mad.
Yeah. Does that mean that that person is born with ahetuka chitta? Yeah, I'm not sure.
If mad by birth, then yes. But if later, because someone can be mad later by under some condition. But if, like now, we even if something wrong with us, you know, like some maybe we get an accident and all that, maybe something we can get mad. Like you understand, right? But then that is mad by another karma. But if mad by born, by birth, that perception, then it means that the patisanti chitta is a hetuka without any roots, without alopa, atosa or amoha. So it's also without virya.
I think usually when a person is born without roots, they're very handicapped from birth, physically very handicapped, and they may be mentally very poorly as well, but if we see a baby that seems very mad, we can't say it's without roots.
Because that is just a baby. We can't just say it. There's no action that tell that baby or person are mad.
How does it help us to understand this moment to discuss these details?
So it's not very important.
What about back to now? Because time is so precious and limited, so all these things we may be curious about, or it may be of some interest,
important.
But what about now. Understanding now? Like the discussion about patience as virya now, does it help to understand more about life now, Bev? Yeah, I think it helps too, because we're so used to thinking of different situations of patience in this one, but beginning to understand about the cheetahs that arise with virya now helps to understand it's not what we conventionally think about.
And I cannot stop thinking because arise by condition.
It's so hard to stop thinking. It arises so quickly, like seeing or hearing. They arise and we think, what have we seen? And we know it's just, you know, we don't think it's just seeing. We already put a name to what we've seen. That's thinking.
This is the nature of citta, we are told, in the suttas.
Yes.
It just flit from one doorway to another and mind door so quickly.
So quickly.
It will always be that way, even for the enlightened being.
So
thinking immediately.
To understand the moment right now.
Yeah.
Because there's no you right now. It's only citta, always by condition.
God.
Yeah. And going on will never end.
But
if there's any trying to know it or waiting for the understanding, then
it's
akusala virya and patience.
It's
me again.
Wanting to know.
Like when we say, the thinking arises so quickly and it's flitting. There can be wise consideration, but usually it's about me and my thinking and not understanding. And then akusala patience at those moments.
Yes.
But we cannot change yet. It cannot be changed. It happens all the time.
It's how it is, but an understanding can develop because this is the reality at this moment.
Yeah.
The thinking now so quickly after seeing and hearing.
Yeah.
Well, so this is life right now.
This is just me talking with attachment, but I remember a giant's phrase very quick, easily. Tila lek, tila noi. And that... It's me, I know, but I remember that.
But there's no you either, actually. It's just thinking all the time reality, right? If Panya know at that moment, it's understand. So it's know that, like right now, it's not me who's talking, but Dhamma function in it.
But the speed of thinking is not an obstacle to the development of awareness, because awareness takes as its object anything that is appearing. So maybe we would like to know more about seeing or visible object, but what is appearing is actually thinking. If the conditions for awareness are there, it will arise and take whatever reality appears, and it may be the thinking rather than the seeing or the visible object. It doesn't matter what's happening. In other words, any reality can be object of awareness.
Now, is there you or is there reality?
Alberto, you're sitting with the microphone. Do you have some question you want to, any question you brought?
Talking about words, we hear many words and different meaning. And one word I'm thinking about is it's on different subject, though. It's on like going for refuge, and the word is going. It's like we use the words, but many words, and but the meaning is when are the teachings of the Buddha are very different from what we think in we call daily life, but it's daily life, but it's very different from what we are used to. So it's like going for refuge or Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Sounds like we need to do something or go somewhere. So the words are very tricky to understand the teachings. So maybe Ajahn can explain what going means, like going for refuge.
Do you have to go anywhere?
No.
But now, just learn to understand whatever he said about realities right now, because he's the only one who can talk about realities because of his enlightenment.
You have to start with the word Dhamma. Dhamma means reality. But if for anyone who doesn't have the wisdom, reality, they don't understand this word reality, which means the Dhamma, the how Dhamma, all the Dhamma is. Reality of what everyone have their own thinking of reality. But if you don't understand, the word reality is so amazing that it's only Buddha teaching. Sapatham, how to use the word in English?
Dhamma.
Correct, Dhamma means Dhamma is absolute
Dhamma.
Reality. No one, everyone have their own thinking way. Before even I hear thing, I have my own thinking way what is reality. But if you, the word Dhamma, you have to start with this word. This is a Buddha word, absolute reality. Then those who don't have wisdom understand, they don't understand what we are talking, because they don't have that wisdom to understand Buddha word. All start with Dhamma, his word, absolute reality. Everything that appears absolute reality. But if you don't understand, like every, I think everyone before also, before hearing the Dhamma, have all thoughts, right? Oh, I think this is real, have your own kind of thoughts, but reality means absolute reality, and it's his word, which means Dhamma right now. If with a person with no wisdom will never understand what this word means.
Actually, Sapath Dhamma, Sapawa means with characteristic. Paramatta Dhamma is absolute reality.
Yes.
Sapath Dhamma would be reality with characteristic.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I understand Alberto to be asking is, it is used, the word go for refuge. It seems like more than just one moment of reality. So why the choice for that word go for refuge? Why is there any significance, special significance in using those words, go for refuge?
Right.
Just a language thing, though.
In Spanish, you have refuge as a verb. Yeah, like refuging, something like that. I refuge myself or something like that.
In English we have to say go for or take refuge or seek refuge or something like that. But I don't think there's any significance in that.
When understanding develops, then there is, the more understanding that develops, the more there is taking refuge in the Dhamma and taking refuge in the Buddha, because there's the beginning of understanding what the Buddha taught and what the Buddha's qualities were, and the beginning of understanding what is meant by those who followed the teachings. And that's why only the Sotapanna has really taken refuge, because really understands what Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha means. But the, as understanding develops, it is taking refuge. So it's not actually going anywhere.
Because Sotapanna already eradicated the wrong way already.
Another word is Sikkhapada, training precepts. So undertaking the precepts, sounds something. In general, I think that it's very easy to be misled by reading Tipitaka, being misled and trying to do something or going somewhere to and thinking that this is the Buddha's teachings, but it's not. The training precept is Sikkhapada. It's not really like anything one needs to do, because it's by condition. So again, the word is can be misleading. That's what I mean. Do you know Sikkhapada?
I don't mind. Because you see that I just want to understand each word, like to take refuge. What does it mean?
To arrive at the at understanding realities.
See, so one knows that what we mean is that we cannot understand whatever appears, but who can help us or lead us to understand whatever appears? Which is, no one knows about seeing, hearing, thinking at all. But once you have heard the teachings about reality, and you know that it's now, what is real now, it's real, a reality. Seeing arises and falls away all the time. Who knows? We just think about other things. And who can condition understanding of this, which haven't arisen before at all, to know the truth of this moment? That's why we take refuge in that word of that person who condition understanding to arise, because it's not you, but there is ignorance, not understanding anything right now at all. But the words of the teachings condition understanding of whatever appears, to consider whether it's right, whether it's true or not by yourself, not just belief. For example, who knows that without the eye sense or the eye base, and without that which can impinge on the eye base, there can never be seeing right now at all. Have you heard this before? It's not self. No one at all.
That's right. Yeah.
That's why the more we hear, the more we can understand. So we say, I take refuge to help one to not to be blind anymore. In samsara, the circle of birth and death, not just this life. Because the truth is the truth, no matter when and where. Seeing is seeing, hearing is hearing. And who takes seeing for self? When seeing has fallen away, where's I? If you take I see from seeing, actually there are different realities, no one at all. When there is the understanding of this, you know that who can condition such understanding to arise?
And this,
otherwise, you take refuge in other things else.
And there's a phrase that that translates as the meaning or the truth is the refuge, not the word, which alludes to what Ajahn was talking about earlier on. We can use all these different words for different things, but the real refuge is in the meaning or in the truth.
And as one has heard, that seeing is yourself, that is not enough, right? So you hear more or you read more to understand more, and that is what it's meant by refuge. save you from blindness, ignorance, not understand whatever appears. Take it for real, forever. But actually, each moment is gone. Actually, nothing. From nothing to be something, and then nothing again, unknown. Is it true or not? Depending on you to take this as refuge, to have more and more understanding when hearing, considering more and more.
Yes, even hearing your words now, it's like it's like a condition for that happening, for the refuge taking being becoming the truth, becoming a reality, and it's not really like words or thinking or it's by conditions really just like that.
And it's much more than just few words that you have heard.
Becomes clearer and clearer at moments when there is understanding of what appears now, no matter what it's called, no matter what words used, no matter whether one mentions refuge, but it is refuge at that moment, because there is learning to live alone at that moment with Dharma, and it becomes more apparent there is no other refuge at all.
Taking refuge, we could also use the expression take shelter in. It's a slightly metaphorical use of the term. As Ajahn has explained, it's a reflection of one's understanding of the importance and significance of the teaching.
It's just the moment that when you can take refuge, not all the time, maybe not... Not every moment of your life you can take refuge.
I think it's like momentary. Saying that it's a jewel. We talk about the three jewels. Again, it's a metaphorical use of the term. Again, it's an appreciation of the value of the teaching.
I would like to know more about karma. One is with cause and result. That's vipaka karma. The other one is vipaka citta. The other one is kriya citta. There is no cause and no result. What does that mean? Could you explain?
We have to understand there are four jatis, four planes of citta. So kusala citta, akusala citta, vipaka citta, and kriya citta. So only kusala and akusala cittas that are of a certain degree can bring about vipaka cittas. So the kriya cittas, in English we usually say inoperative. It's just a translation, but it refers to those cittas which are not kusala, not akusala, and not vipaka. So for us in daily life, do you know which are the kriya cittas? No. Okay, so we won't go into too much detail, but for example, before the moment of seeing or hearing, there is one citta that has to arise before seeing or hearing can experience their object. And this citta adverts to the sense object, and it's a kriya citta. It's not kusala, it's not akusala, and it's not vipaka. And the same in the mind door process. Before there can be thinking about what's been seen or heard, there has to be one kriya citta which arises first. The kusala or akusala cittas cannot immediately follow the bhavanga cittas, which were result cittas. There has to be a kriya citta. So this kriya citta, it's not cause. It doesn't accumulate more good or bad, and it doesn't bring result by way of vipaka. That's why it's called inoperative, but it's not vipaka. Yeah. In the case of the arahat, the one who is fully enlightened, there are no more kusala cittas. Of course, all akusala has been eradicated, and there are no more conditions for kusala cittas, no more conditions for further karma. So instead of kusala cittas, the arahat has kiriya cittas. So they are beautiful or sobana cittas, but they're not kusala cittas, they are kiriya cittas. But in this case, they are accompanied by wholesome roots like panya and all the other wholesome factors. But the kiriya cittas don't bring any results. So it's just daily life that apart from kusala, akusala, vipaka cittas, there are also these kiriya cittas.
Because arahata is not going to, he already eradicate the kilesa, which not going, because kusala or akusala is a cause which produce, can rebirth in any way, but kiriya cittas is not a cause, it won't produce, it's not going to produce any rebirth to.
Do you know citta?
I think you grilled me 2 weeks ago.
Yes. I would like to know whether how much you understand citta. What is it?
Citta is all mental conditions.
What do you mean? Why is mental?
Mental meaning just a mental consciousness of receiving something. So if you're talking about seeing an object, there are a few things that are happening, you know, the object, the seeing, the receptor, which is the eye, and what goes on in our consciousness.
So what moment is citta?
So citta is something that is happening somewhere up here.
Can I ask you, what do you mean by here?
What we experienced.
It's not the way to understand citta. No. Even now there is citta. But can you think about that which is real now? What is that which is real now?
All is real.
What, please?
Everything, almost everything.
No, what? Yeah. What?
Okay, the rupa.
Pardon?
The rupa.
No, I mean,
what do you
when mean? You talk about rupa, what do you mean?
The object.
What is the object? See? Like when you say rupa,
what is rupa? Can you give some examples?
What do you mean by rupa?
Rupa is like the chair, the table, the object that we are seeing.
See, we have to begin from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just take something that you think that you understand to the, your question, but actually, it's not the understanding of the truth at all. So that's why we have to understand what Buddha enlightened, the absolute truth, which is covered up from life to life. No one knows about it. But since he taught about this, we learn to understand whether it's true or not. Is it now? When it's real, it has to be just now. So there are many realities right now, right?
Yes.
One arises, but it cannot experience anything at all. Mm-hmm. But the other one, without it, the world will not appear, cannot appear at all. So it needs a reality which arises to experience. Whenever it arises, it has to experience something as object. Mm-hmm. At this moment, that which sees is that which arises to see. If there is no seeing, nothing appears at all. And at moment of hearing, it's that which hears the sound. The sound cannot hear. So that which cannot experience anything, no matter what, is rupa. We use the word rupa to mean that which cannot experience anything at all. So please, what is rupa now?
The one that cannot experience anything.
What is that?
Physical phenomenon.
What is that?
It's a reality that rises.
Yes,
and
but
falls.
What is that? Right now. Just right now. See, we talk about the absolute truth. No one at all. Only the truth.
But
or this moment of touching? What is touched at this moment?
The object, the physical phenomenon.
Close your eyes. What is touched at this moment? What is experienced?
It's just something, the body sense touching something.
But what is experienced? What is touched at this moment?
What is touched?
Yes, what is experienced at this moment?
Just something warm.
Warm. So warm is experienced. Is something experienced or just warm at that moment?
Something experienced.
Okay, what is something? So warmth is experienced. Something. What is something? When touching hardness. So hardness is touched, warmth is touched. So hardness, we say, is real. It's a rupa. Warmth is real. It's a rupa. What about microphone? Is it touched or is it thought about?
It's a rupa, so
no.
Close your eyes. Is there any microphone touched or what is touched?
I'm not understanding this.
Like you said, hardness is touched. Yes. Mm. Okay, hardness is real. It's rupa. Warmth is touched. Whether your eyes are open or closed, real. It's rupa. But there's no microphone touched. It's thinking about an idea, which we call microphone. But actually, it's only hardness and warmth that's touched.
Yeah. And just to clarify, by touched here, we mean experience through the body sense. Conventionally we touch something, but that's not the way we're using it. We're asking what is experienced through
like
the
before
body sense.
You mentioned chair. At the moment of touching here, what is experienced?
Hardness.
So hardness is rupa. Mm-hmm. If a dog touches here, it's still hardness that is touched. The hardness is rupa. Yeah. The warmth is rupa. But the chair is not rupa, it's an idea that's thought about. If there was no hardness, no warmth touched, there would be no idea of chair that's touched, but chair is an idea. And what is touching, what is experiencing that hardness now?
What is experiencing the hardness now?
Yes.
It's the citta.
The citta, yes. Chitta. So it's a moment. So what is citta now? It's not anything here.
It's just.
What is the citta that experiences?
It's a consciousness.
Just a moment of consciousness for an instant.
I can be pointing here, but it's a consciousness up here.
That's thinking about it. Yeah.
And
it's just a moment of consciousness. As soon as there's an idea, it's up here or it's in my brain, then that's an idea. Yeah. It's not the moment of consciousness. Yeah. So citta is a moment of consciousness, a moment of experiencing. And rupa is the reality, the hardness or the motion or the warmth that's experienced. Mm. What about at a moment of hearing? What is heard now?
Sound?
Yes.
Just, anything just else sound. Heard?
I have no idea. Just sound to me.
Just sound. And when there's an idea of the noise of the fan or
the words,
someone's voice or words, then it's thinking. Mm-hmm. And what thinks?
It's the citta.
Citta. And what hears the sound?
It's the ear sense. It's a rupa.
No.
Hears the sound?
What hears the sound?
Yes.
It's the
ear sense.
No. You're leading him down the wrong path. What hears the sound?
What hears the sound? The consciousness?
Yes.
Citta.
So it's always whatever kind of experience there is in the day, no matter seeing, no matter hearing, no matter thinking, no matter liking, no matter disliking. It's always citta which is the leader in experiencing the object.
Actually, that is something I understand from reading. I may not have articulated it that well, but meaning that, you know, all these conditions rise and fall, whatever I can experience with my citta, they are all absolute realities.
You with your citta or citta experience?
Citta
experience. You have to be precise. Is there you? Do you mean by you experience or you mean citta as a dhamma, which is namatam, an experience? You have to very...
The citta experiences everything, so everything is absolute
citta,
reality.
Yeah. So no I or me involved. So what Ajahn was pointing to earlier was that there are two kinds of realities. Those realities which experience an object, and they are namas. And
yes.
And the namas are cittas, the leaders in experiencing, and chetasikas. So when we talk about patience or energy or attachment or aversion, these are all chetasikas or mental factors that arise with the citta. So they also experience the same object as the cittas. Yeah. So the cittas and the chetasikas experience an object, and those realities that cannot experience anything are rupas. So how many rupas are experienced commonly now? So you mentioned heat and you mentioned hardness. What else? What other rupas are experienced now?
What other rupas? Hot air.
Right now, if they're seeing...
Sorry?
If they're seeing...
Yes.
What do you see?
Colors.
Yeah, colors. Okay, colors, dhamma.
You see?
No, I mean, it's seeing now. What seeing experience? Okay, right now seeing, but what sees? Do you see, do seeing, okay, I use the word you, but refers citta. Do we see table or we see the colors or something else? What do you think?
Do we see colors?
Okay, so we already discussed sound is a rupa. So hardness is a rupa, warmth is a rupa, sound is a rupa. And at this moment of seeing, what is experienced?
I'm seeing colors, I'm seeing softness.
Can seeing see softness?
No.
What can experience softness?
Only the citta. Oh, only the sense.
Moments of
body
touching,
sense.
Body conscious, yes. Otherwise, it's thinking about it. So seeing can only see colour, or we can call it what is visible, the visible object. Mm. So that is another rupa. Mm. So visible object is a rupa. It doesn't matter if we call it light or colour or visible object. Sound is a rupa. Hardness is a rupa.
Smell.
Warmth is a rupa. Smell.
Taste,
but not now.
Ajahn, would you like to say something?
To know what can be experienced in a day.
Many things.
Absolute reality.
Yes.
Which can be directly experienced in a day. In a day, like now, what can be experienced?
Many things through
please, so we can count how many can be...
We can see through our eyes.
What is seen?
Many things like colors.
No, not many things. See, not many things. Only one reality can be seen.
Seen?
Yeah, only one. What is that?
Only one.
Now it is seen. So what is that which can be seen?
Just seen.
Seeing is that which sees.
Seeing
we have to understand very distinctly that seeing cannot be that which cannot experience, because it arises just to see. It cannot arise to hear or to think. It's just a reality which, whenever it arises, it sees. It has its function as just to see only. So, what does it see?
What does it see?
What does seeing see?
Seeing sees an object.
Yes, because you see that we learn to understand correctly, precisely, otherwise they are all mixed up as something permanent all the time. But actually, each reality is its own.
A minute ago, in answer to Sarah, you said that hearing hears just sound. Not words, not music, not voice, but just sound. And the idea of words and voice is the thinking that follows it. Now we're talking about seeing. Seeing has to experience something before there can be the idea of a table and people. So that is what Ajahn is asking, and it's appearing now, so consider what it is.
It appears no matter where and when, whenever there is seeing, what it's that which it appears to seeing, not to hearing, not to thinking. And it's now appearing, what is that which appears? It appears now. What is that?
For seeing, it's just images.
Seeing is seeing now. What is seen? What seeing sees? Right now. Just right now. Don't change. Just now. Close your eyes, please. Do you see anything?
No.
So what does seeing see when you open your eyes? You don't have to say anything, but you don't understand what is seen as it is. You take it for something like people, microphone, shoes, wall, anything. But that is what you think. It's not that which is seen. Immediately, when seeing arises, seeing cannot think. It can see only. But we take that which is seen as something because of the rapidity of the succession from moment to moment, from seeing to thinking immediately. But there are so many different jitas in between, unknown. This is why we have Buddha as refuge to understand the truth of whatever in life is. So there is seeing, and that which is seen is not known as a reality which can impinge on the eye. Can hardness touch the eyes? Hardness, softness, can it touch or impinge on the eye sense or eye base? Impossible. So that which is now is the only reality that can impinge on the eye base only, not the other base, not ears, nose, at all. So this is just a moment which arises and falls away so rapidly that there are so many jitas in between before there is the idea of something is seen. And before it can be something, each one unit of that which can impinge on the eyes have to impinge, and then the other jitta follows so rapidly before there can be the idea of something. Even one eye. But now there are so many things, so reality arises and falls away so rapidly. That's why it's covered up from life to life, taking everything which is not permanent as I all the time. And that is wrong understanding. So right understanding is not because you take it right, but because it is reality which cannot be changed, not under anyone's control at all. So before there can be the understanding precisely of that which is seen, it takes time to understand more and more until it reveals itself and it appears well to the highly developed right understanding as it is, as only that which is seen, so rapidly, like the lightning, so fast, before there can be the idea of what is there, from memory. Because without memory, there cannot be the understanding or taking whatever appears as something. And this is your whole life, from birth to death, unknown. So the refuge is that which brings about understanding of the truth.
And do you understand why we are asking you these questions and why it's important to know what is seen now or what is heard now, or to understand the difference between the namas and the rupas? Do you understand the purpose of it?
I understand the purpose of trying to recognize what comes out. To know, you know, which category it belongs to, whether it's a rupa or a sita or a satasika, so that we can develop a deeper understanding to sort of eradicate whatever aversion or attachment that comes with it.
And there's actually a deeper point. The point is really to understand that whatever arises in life is not I, not self, is anatta. And it's only by understanding the truth of life, about what is the true reality in life, that there can be the beginning of understanding that most of the day we live in a fantasy or dream world. Like in the morning when we wake up, we know that we were dreaming, we knew it was imaginary. But even now, when we think that we experience chairs and see softness and hold microphone and think that I can take refuge, we're living in a fantasy world, in an imaginary world, not understanding that life now just consists of moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching, that's all. And if we don't hear and learn more about what the realities are, what really is seen at this moment, as opposed to the fantasies we have about seeing people, living with people, seeing tables, there will never be the understanding of the truth of life at this moment. So this is a reason that we ask these questions and persist, because like before, the question was about taking refuge. The only way to take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha is the understanding of what life is at this very moment. So it's a moment of understanding now that what is seen is just that which is seen, just that which is visible at that moment. There is refuge, because that's the all, that's the entire world at that moment, just the seeing of what is visible, and then gone, never to return.
Whereas a moment ago,
it rises and falls away.
Can it back?
No.
Not at all, never to return. In samsara, just once.
But like you said, it retains in our memory.
Yes. But you think about that. It's not you who think. It's the memory.
We say it stays in the memory, but that's a way of speaking. Actually, memory marks. So memory can recall. But the Dhamma is gone forever.
It's memory, citta.
It is. It's not. The satatika.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How often does memory arise in a day?
All the time.
Every moment. So it arises and falls away. So it arises with every citta and falls away with every citta at every moment in the day. Even when it seems there's no memory, there's memory at each moment.
I will get better, Ajahn. I just started 2 weeks ago. So it's been an interesting process So I want to learn more. Thank you. Thank you, Ajahn. Thank you, everyone.
As we talk about Nama that experiences something and Rupa that doesn't experience anything. So we know that at the moment of hearing, is it the hearing consciousness that hears? But you know, today if you use the iPhone, you talk to Siri, and you know that it understands and it answers. So I'm just wondering, we cannot say that it's consciousness here. So, but how that hearing happens?
You mean the hearing of the iPhone? Yes. Yeah. Well, that's not a dumb question, is it?
Well, that's it's related.
Electronics or a programming
but
issue.
It should be Nama or Rupa, right?
Can it hear?
Absolutely not.
Can it hear?
No, normally Rupa cannot hear.
That's the work of realities, Nama and Rupa. Yeah. And actually that is only Rupa.
Hearing is Namatam, Chitta, Chit. Hearing sense, right? So that's it. Others, if Rupa cannot, Rupa doesn't know anything. Rupa is a Dhamma.
Does a camera see?
No, but yes, so I just wonders how that happens. We understand it in terms of technology.
But there's no experiencing.
Yes.
Right? Our camera is sensitive to light. The plate in the camera is sensitive to light. But there's no actual experiencing, no consciousness.
That would be the same than, you know, in the technology or the scientific way to understand it. I can gather that from the scientific point of view. But just in terms of Dhamma, you know, that we know that there's only two realities, Nama and Rupa. So that's why I am wondering.
Outside the body, what are they conditioned by? Utu, so
as the inventor. The one who invents, creates it.
Actually, there's no... If you understand Dhamma, then everything is just a thinking, right?
I think you're asking us to speculate because it's not anything currently being experienced that can be known directly. We can only theorize about it.
Indian is all thinking, right? Because Indian, you have to come to Dhamma, which is true now.
A little bit like the case of if we speak now and then someone listens on the tape tomorrow or the next day, they're listening to rupas that have been conditioned by temperature. So the cheetahs now are conditioning rupas, and then temperature in those rupas are conditioning other rupas and other rupas. So the engineer, because cheetahs have conditioned rupas, so on and on and on through the technical processes.
Yeah. Like sound, like it's the, if you come to Dhamma point, sound can be like, maybe in a forest, something like this is chained in Mahaputta Rupa, like something. But what knows, what experience is the hearing sense, right? What knows? Like, is Rupatam cannot, Rupa cannot knows. Rupa does, this Dhamma that doesn't know.
What about without Chitta? Can there be hearing? That's all.
Come back to the previous point about hearing. At the moment of hearing, there's only sound, and later on it translates like the sound of the bird, the sound of the fan. And at the same sense that we're talking about touching, at the moment of touching, there's just something touches, and later it's thinking about it is warm, it is the heat, or it is the softness or hardness, is it right?
Different, because, for example, all that is heard is sound, so only one kind of rupa sound, but the sound that's heard, is each sound the same or is each sound different?
It's different.
So at each moment different sound is heard, never the same. That's why afterwards there's thinking about bird sound or fan sound or voice sound, for example. But at moment of touching, it's not just one kind of rupa that is experienced. There are three rupas that are experienced through the body sense. So hardness, softness is one kind, temperature is another, motion is another. We can say it's just tangible object that's touched, but actually three different rupas. So at a moment of touching, hardness, there's not thinking about temperature, it's thinking about the hardness. The hardness is different from temperature, different kind of rupa, different characteristic.
So it depending, maybe this, the three rupa at the same time, but it depending on the condition that it could be softness, hardness, or it should be the
like
the
now,
heat.
A moment of touching. Sometimes it's hardness that's touched, sometimes it's heat or cold, but because so many countless experiences, it's all mixed up. And we can just say it's tangible object, no point trying to work out what it is at each moment. But the characteristic of hardness is different from the characteristic of temperature. So actually, it's a different moment of experiencing. But we know that when any rupa arises, it has to arise supported by the other rupas in that group. So whenever temperature arises, actually hardness is always there, as well as another six rupas at that moment, at least. But only one is experienced at a time. So at a moment of touching hardness, that's the world, that's all there is at that moment. No heat or cold in it.
And it's all anatta, it's all according to conditions, right? Whether the moment of body sense, whether you would experience the hardness or temperature or the motion, everything is not in control. All our dhammas is up to condition, whether or when you will sense the hardness, softness, whether the temperature or whether the motion. But either way, yeah, it can only experience one at a time.
But of course they are happening so quickly, interchangeably, that it may seem that the hardness and the temperature appear at the same time.
Can you explain a little bit about the moment of tasting? Is it the same way that...
Moment of tasting, what is experienced?
Something experienced.
What?
I don't know how to call it.
You can call it just the taste.
The taste?
And sometimes it's sour taste, sometimes salty taste, sometimes sweet taste, sometimes spicy taste, sometimes chili taste, if you're lucky. Kusala vipaka for you, akusala vipaka for me. But it's just taste, whatever kind of taste it is, it's just taste. And that taste has been conditioned by the other rupas that accompany it. But at the moment of tasting, only taste is experienced. And then instantly thinking about delicious taste or salty taste or whatever it is. But just taste that's experienced.
But Sarah, excuse me, taste, saltiness and sweetness is thinking, right? Because it's...
How many tastes are experienced at a moment of tasting taste? Is it all the same taste or is the taste different at different moments?
Like, okay, if I say colors, I may say red, blue, whatever, but it's still a thinking, right? It's a concept.
At the moment of tasting lunch, is every taste the same?
No.
No. And some tastes, no matter we call it, some tastes are spicy, some are salty, so they're different. When we put words in it and we call it this kind of taste and that kind of taste, it's thinking. But at the moment of tasting, the taste is just as it is, just like the hardness. It's different, the hardness here, it's different from the hardness here, it's different from the hardness here. The coldness is different.
Yeah.
So the taste is, that experience is different at each
so
moment.
So it can, even the color, the sound, also the smell,
the visible
the
object
taste.
Is different okay. at each moment. If it was the same, we wouldn't know
the difference.
This is
the word,
who,
the,
this is
the flower, the
yes.
tape. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So each taste is different, but it's just taste.
Yeah. But and, we cannot and, say like white is a Dhamma, white is a concept, right?
As soon as we start talking about white and red, like you say, it's thinking about the different colors. So and it's not no longer just that which is visible.
And in the case of taste, it's just what appears through the tongue sense at that time. So different from the texture of the food or the temperature of the food, which is being experienced through the body sense. A different rupa, different doorway, but happening alternately so fast.
I remember hearing in somewhere in the scriptures that they mention about tasting sour taste or sweet taste or taste, but they never talk about you're seeing purple color or you're seeing yellow color. So I would like to know what's the difference between taste and seeing.